We use prayers like that, by the way, to lift us higher. Our natural prayer is for ourselves, our health, the ones we love, our jobs, our country, as it affects us, and all of that's appropriate. But there are times, and this is one of them, when we need to be lifted higher and think and pray about issues that are bigger and, if I may say it this way, just more important. But we have to learn to do that, and this is one of the ways we do it. The scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And would you stand together for the reading of the word of the Lord? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what's right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. May the Lord God bless this reading and hearing of his eternal word to our understanding and our blessing. Amen. Thank you all. Well, I am going to vote on Tuesday. It is a great privilege and responsibility. I hope you will vote also. I hope you have considered carefully the qualifications of the two men who aspire to be president in the next 4 years. I hope also that you will moderate your hopes and fears for the next 4 years in at least one important aspect. Many of us would agree with Professor Michael Sandel of Harvard, who says there are two concerns that lie at the heart of democracy's discontent. The first is the fear that we are losing control over the forces that govern our lives. The second is that from family to neighborhood to nation, the moral fabric of community is being unraveled around us. A Republican in the White House for 28 of the last 44 years has not stopped that. It has not even slowed that. President Obama's term of office has not stopped that. It may have deepened it. Government can make just laws, but it is we the people who weave together or unravel the moral fabric of community. In our troubled times, the church has the chance to display its proposal for human flourishing with remarkable clarity. I'd like to talk about how we might display that proposal in a few minutes, but first I'd like to talk briefly about our troubled times. Professor Sandel talks about how the moral fabric of community is being unraveled. I hear people, I think we all hear people, who say that America is experiencing a moral meltdown. Neither way of putting it captures quite completely what troubles our times the most. Let me try to communicate how I see that. America is experiencing a moral meltdown. Really? Says who? Do you think gay and lesbian organizations, with their deep pockets and political influence, think America is having a moral meltdown? They think the right to gay marriage is a moral imperative like the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and it is immoral to oppose it. Do you think the bank officers who sold people subprime mortgages that they couldn't afford thought they were behaving badly? They thought they were behaving morally by putting people into houses with their share of the American dream. Do we, who can have any food we want any day of the week, think that any of that food is being harvested by illegals? Would we refuse to buy it if it were? Do we even want to know? Is our refusal to ask part of the moral meltdown of America? What troubles our times the most is the freedom of people to choose moral values without any moral standard to guide them. That's the risk of the times in which we live. Do I think America is having a moral meltdown? Yes, I do. But Christianity has a moral standard provided by the New Testament and reinforced by 2,000 years of experience. We have something to measure by. That's why we know a moral meltdown when we see it. Neither political party has such a standard. Liberal political theory insists on toleration, fair procedures, and the right of individuals to choose. And those values respect the right of individuals to choose their moral standards. Neither President Obama nor Governor Romney will change that. In our troubled times, the church has a chance to display an alternative, has a chance to display what a life that flourishes looks like with great clarity. And I would like for us to have a look at that and to think about that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, challenges us to be conformed no longer to the pattern of this world. Well, let's not conform. Let's say that our nation suffers when people choose moral values like items on the aisle of a supermarket. Just pick something. It really doesn't matter. That kind of attitude is what troubles our time deeply. You know, the reality here is that if that's the kind of world that you and I live in, then it makes this series of sermons very important. This series is a summons from God through me to you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. If America is having a moral meltdown, then offering your body to God really matters. Liberal political theory and Christian teaching and behavior are at cross purposes with each other. Let's be sure we are on the right side of that conflict, whatever the results of Tuesday's election. However, this same conflict does not change our desire to work for the peace and the prosperity of our nation. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 anchors our desire in the will of God. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. That's why we vote. Democracy has given us a share in the authority to govern. That is a great gift. The apostle was writing this, you may remember, to a church that lived under a totalitarian regime which could act against the church with violence and with impunity. And so you and I experience a different kind of liberty. You know, whatever the outcome on Tuesday, whether we have President Romney or President Obama on Wednesday, this passage makes it very clear to those who offer their bodies to God as living sacrifices how we are to proceed amid all of the emotion of a presidential election and of a distracted democracy. Verse 7 expresses it very clearly. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, and then honor. And later in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the apostle added this: I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And now, as we come to the table where our souls are fed, to commune with Jesus, whom we have never seen, and yet we love, let us determine to help heal the polarization that afflicts our nation. Let us be careful about unguarded political language in public. Let us pray for all those in places of authority, and let us declare and display the goodness and the friendship of Almighty God. If you have never tasted the goodness and the friendship of God, then on his behalf, I say to you, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and join this congregation in saying, Jesus is Lord. He is good, and of his friendship there is no end. Our habit here is to serve communion to everyone who believes in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and who has said publicly, Jesus is Lord. You may not be from this congregation, but if you believe that, you're one of us, and we want you to come and eat and drink with us.